Well, hello, Saddleback Covenant Church. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you today. Tony and I just wanted to get together and record a couple songs for you in tandem with what Kevin is sharing. And so this first song we're going to sing, you guys know this. We pray this would be a real time of worship for you. But this song is all about, despite all the things that are pulling our gaze down, that are focusing on the here and now, it's time to lift up our gaze. Be lifted up. Lift up our soul to Him and let Him breathe life. So this time as we sing this song, let's think of these words and just be thinking of our Lord and blessing Him. Thank you, Lord.
I want to thank Pat and Tony for coming in and recording these the worship songs before and after I spoke this morning. And I just want you to know we're still in a process. I miss all of you, but we're in this together, the virus and its consequences. One thing I want to say for sure is you are not a statistic. Statisticians make us a statistic, and statistics can be a valuable tool for us as we address the future. But you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has you in the palm of his hand. So let's remember that the Lord is with us. And what I wanted to do this morning is follow up where I was last week, talking about grasshopper theology, won't get it done. And we're going to talk today about Caleb and Joshua once again and take a good look into their character. The kind of character they had in their day is the same kind of character we need in our day. So I want to start by reading from Psalm 91, verses 1 through 7. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you up with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. Powerful words, powerful indeed. I want to say this morning, you know, a smart man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. If we look at a map of Israel, my question is, why did it take 40 years to travel a straight line distance of 240 miles. Well, unbelief creates a cycle of falling apart, recovering, falling apart, not knowing how to walk in victory. 240 miles, approximately 6 miles a year to get there, seems incredibly slow for even people on foot. I broke it down for you. It's 40 yards a day. In reality, 40 years of wandering wasn't a journey. It was a death sentence to those who rebelled against God and his direction. Instead of a relatively direct course, the generation who refused to enter the land became a journey without destination. Let me read in Numbers, beginning in chapter 14, and this is verse 18. And it's a situation, wait a minute, I think I'll back up to 17. Moses, the spies had been unfaithful. God was about ready to pronounce his judgment on them. And Moses, the most humble man on earth, intercedes. He really was a good pastor. He really didn't take the judgment on them. He asked the Lord to have mercy, even though he knew they were wrong. He says, beginning in verse 17, "But now I pray, let the power of the Lord be great, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations. Pardon, I pray, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your loving kindness, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." So the Lord said, "I have pardoned them according to your word. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, because he followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered and his descendants to take possession of it." And we'll drop down here to verse 30. "Surely you shall not come into the land which I swore to settle you, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun." I'd like to say parenthetically, Who is Jeb Hooney? Apparently, he's Caleb's father. And who is Nun? Apparently, he was Joshua's Nun. So I want to give a shout out to two fathers that raised men such as them. It's just incredible. He says, continuing, he says, your children, however, whom you said would become a prey, I will bring them in, and they will know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your corpses will fall in the wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness, according to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you shall bear your guilt a year, even 40 years, and you will know my opposition. I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this I will do to all the evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be destroyed, and there they will die. As for the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, and whom returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing out a bad report concerning the land, even those men who brought out the very bad report of the land died of a plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive out of all those men who went in to spy out the land. Amazing. The unbelieving spies, the grasshoppers, saw the giants but not God. We're called to walk by faith, not by sight, to fix our eyes on him who is invisible. Did God know what was in the land? Absolutely. Does God know how difficult it will be? Absolutely. God knows what he's doing. But Israel absolutely rejected God's plan, except for Caleb and Joshua, who turned their hearts, knowing the Lord would go before them, and tried to turn the hearts of the people, but to no avail. They faced not only the giants on the other side of the Jordan, but also their own people. It's often been said that no pastor ever left the ministry because of the world. It usually is the people within churches and congregation that so many pastors get discouraged at times. But these two men rose above any discouragement, any rebellion, to press on. The 10 spies who melted the hearts of the people with a bad report were struck dead. The rest of the people died in the wilderness over the next 38 years. And there'd be more rebellions to follow. But it's important to remember that when God makes a covenant, it doesn't matter how hard it is, what obstacles we encounter, or the perceived delay of his promise. His word will not return void. He is faithful to bring it to pass as we walk in the light. Caleb and Joshua were two men who stood against incredible odds in hostile circumstances from Israel, from enemies without and within. This story is told in Deuteronomy, Numbers, and Judges, and we are now 3,500 years later. Their story speaks to us as if they were right in this room. There was a moment in time when they took their stand. The Lord our God will go before us. We are able. It's a good land. God will give it to us. The two of them, Caleb and Joshua, would have lost their lives if God had not intervened. The 10 unfaithful spies, as I said before, were struck dead and judged. The entire generation of 20 years and up perished in the wilderness over 40 years. God, in his mercy, gave them 40 years to repent. Many, as I said earlier, continued in rebellion. 250 leaders under Korah saw Moses as the cause of their problems and tried to usurp his authority. Moses, the most humble man on earth, God would make his choice. The ground opened and swallowed up Korah and 250 of his cohorts. To us, a lot of this is a Bible story. It's an interesting Bible story. We said, well, he trusted or he didn't trust. But these are real people with real giants, with real wives, with real children, and their lives were on the line. Joshua and Caleb, men of a different spirit. Let's look at them. Joshua, the son of Nun, had been a servant to Moses for 40 years. 40 years he served one man, as well as God. And there's a virtue in Joshua that can often be missed, his love of God's presence. In Exodus 33:11, the cloud had descended on the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled it, and Moses was there, and then eventually Moses stepped away, and they all did, except for Joshua, who said, it says, he lingered in the presence of the Lord. He was not just a soldier, he was a worshiper. You're not just a businessman, you're a worshiper. You're not just a school teacher, you're a worshiper. You're not just a housewife, you're a worshiper. The Father's looking for those that worship him in spirit and truth, no matter what you are, no matter what you do. He was chosen to replace Moses. How do you walk in Moses' shoes? It was many times in 1 Joshua chapter 1, he says, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, only be strong and very courageous. He's talking to a man that already had been in battle, a man that had already gone through so many things, but there was a call for more courage as Joshua had never walked this way before. He led the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, preparing the children of Israel to possess the land. His last words at age 110, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Say it with me. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amazing. Joshua knew the fear of God. He didn't fear man or follow the crowd or trends. He had a different spirit. Now I want to talk about Caleb. Caleb, it says in 14:24, but my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. So what is a different spirit? Best I can get is to follow the Lord fully. Because the Lord repeats that several times. Look at Caleb's character. He was steadfast in purpose. He never wavered. He said, I press on towards the goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus. In Philippians 3:14. He was obedient to God. He believed and acted on God's promise. You are my friends if you do what I command you. John 15:14. He was a faithful messenger. Caleb represented God truthfully, risking his life. Every man proclaims his loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? Proverbs 26. He was courageous. He stood up to hostile Israel and pronounced that God was faithful, risking it all. And he had the fear of God. Caleb feared God over man. The fear of God leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Scripture says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's just the beginning, but it is the beginning. Spiritual leaders must have it. As many of you know, I've been doing this a long time. And whenever I look for leaders, the first thing I look for is fear of God. Not their gifting, not their IQ, not their seminary. I look at their fear of God because it's the beginning of wisdom. And the scripture says so much about it. Oswald Chambers said, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Webster said, it's good for men that... In good men, the fear of God is a holy awe and reverence of God and his laws, which springs from a just view and a real love of divine character, leading the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being, and inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. Psalm 34:11 says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. In other words, it's a learned thing as well. Psalm 19 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Now, Caleb was of a different spirit. He could not quit or say it's too hard and refuse God's direction. It takes courage to live for God. I want to say it's a rare thing to find someone who doesn't waver. We should never take anyone like that for granted. All around, the people had fallen from the faith. Circumstances were opportunities for him. A hostile desert, fierce giants, fortified cities. But Caleb saw the circumstances as God's opportunity to act. I see the pandemic, it's an awful thing, but it is an opportunity for us to act in God's counsel. The giants in our lives are opportunities to show forth the glory of God and overcome rather than fall into despair, dejection, and defeat. I'm going to say it again. The giants in our lives are opportunities to show forth the glory of God. And overcome rather than fall into despair, dejection, and defeat. Caleb's loyalties never wavered. He was spiritual. He was not fickle or a fair-weather friend. He was loyal and committed, and he followed the Lord fully. He was faithful and patient. Because of Israel's sins, Caleb had to spend an additional 38 years in the desert. I'm going to put it in real terms. Because of the sins of somebody else, you're not getting that dream house until 2058. 2058, 38 years. He was 40 years old, and he was 80 when he entered the land. He also had to raise up the children of the next generation, the very children that the parents had been so concerned about, who were dying. Their parents had crossed the Red Sea. Their parents had seen water, bitter water turn sweet. The parents were there when God descended on Mount Sinai and spoke the Ten Commandments. Their parents were there when they saw a cloud leading them by day and a fire by night. And yet, with all that miraculous stuff, something was missing. But not in Caleb and not in Joshua. I want to read in Joshua chapter 14, beginning in verse 6. And this is at the end of Joshua, at the beginning of the end. Joshua had now 40 years, and they crossed the Jordan. They had gone in. They had defeated Israel. Israel had won victories at Jericho and other cities, and now parts of the land were settled. And so it's time for Joshua to get what was promised to him about entering the land. He never forgot that promise all these years later. So he begins in verse 6 of chapter 14. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought word back to him as was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land in which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully.' Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old. Today, I'm still strong today, as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. For war and the going out and the coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that the Anakim were there. And the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. Again, the Anakim were the giants. There were still a few left. And this 85-year-old was not done. So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Amazing story. Caleb was given Hebron, where Abraham, Sarah, Jacob are buried. It's the centerpiece of Israel. And even at the age of 85, he's still killing giants. Caleb's a great example to all of us. Not just a man of great faith, but a man that had faith in a great God. By the way, Caleb didn't like giants. Caleb didn't like bullies. He considered giants something to be destroyed, to be disinherited, to be dispossessed and drive them out of the land. He actually did what he believed. Six times in the Bible, it says Caleb had followed the Lord fully. Different spirit. May we learn from his example, by God's grace, be a people of that same different spirit, following fully our Lord and Savior. So God pardoned, but he also governs. He forgives, but the consequences of Israel's unbelief kept an entire generation from entering the land. But don't ever forget, God doesn't get deterred by our failures. As truly as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. As truly as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. I wish I could sing it. For as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. For as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. I believe that as much as I believe John 3:16. God is at work. The vine is moving in all the earth. These 150 countries that have been infected, he has ambassadors and people in every situation. Even now, intercessors praying, and even now, saints finding ways to do good works, even if it's by remote. It's amazing stuff. Psalm 37 says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he falls, he'll not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand." I'm speaking about myself right now. I'm reading from Scripture. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. All day long, he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. God is with us. Even if you and I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for thou art with me. We're not to be afraid of sudden fear, nor the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be our confidence, Proverbs 3:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. The fear of man is a waste of good energy. Caleb and Joshua were exalted. Now, as I close, I pray that each of your families are doing well during this time of separation. I pray that I got a nice letter from someone that doesn't have the ability to use email or any of the stuff. Comes to our church, and she wrote me and told me how much she missed the congregation. And then she said, "I'm doing well, but I'm panicking." I said, "Wait a minute, you're doing well, but you're panicking." But she was so honest, and she asked me if I could send her some Christian literature, which we did, and I wrote her a note. But it's Bernadette, if you think of her. Many of you know her. She sits in the second row, right, every Sunday. "Whatsoever you do to the least of the brethren, you do unto me." So I'd like to close with a couple of thoughts and then pray. His grace is going to be sufficient for every need we have. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that all things at all times, having all that you need, that you will abound for every good work. God's able to do more than we can ask or imagine. God is always faithful. He is our hope, which is the anchor of the soul. Let me say one more thing about hope. Hope produces endurance and perseverance. And I'll read this last scripture out of Thessalonians 1:3. "We continually remember before our God and Father our work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Hope is our anchor. By the time this podcast is played on Sunday, we'll have over 600,000 people worldwide, 150 countries, and nations and scientists and people are doing everything they can to deal with it. But we have a great physician. We have a God and Father who sees all and knows all. He actually understands your finances, your job situation, your health. But I want to stop this morning now, and I'd like to pray for a couple of people. One is Alana Bretzman, who is a registered nurse and works at St. Joseph. She's in the coronavirus ward, been working there day and night, and they've given her additional responsibilities. Susie Hale, who works at Mission Hospital, is a surgical nurse, in and out of the hospital every day, involved in surgeries. Bo and Will Beardsley's sister, Amy, who works in ICU, is in the hospital all the time, another nurse. And if I can take this one indulgence in my family, Katie Davenport, my niece, I'm her godfather, and she is an ER doctor in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and we have been in touch by text. It's been a really challenging time for her. The very things you've seen on the news, the people on the front lines are feeling it. Your prayers make a difference. My prayers make a difference. So let's close today with a time of prayer. If you just join with me. Lord, I thank you that you're in every season of our life. And as I prayed last week, you know the end from the beginning. And you have uniquely placed each one of us in this time. Each of us have a role to play. Some of us might think it's insignificant. Some of us might feel like we're in a very critical, cutting-edge situation. Whatever it is, Lord, help us to be faithful to you. May we have the spirit of Caleb and Joshua, who would not bend, Lord, who stood with you, real men with real wives and real family and real children, but somehow in the midst of overwhelming circumstances, they followed you faithfully. fully. May we do the same, Lord. Help us. Through our God, we shall do valiantly. If one falls by our side, 10,000 on the other. We lift up Alana Bretzman this morning and pray for your amazing grace and enabling power to be with her as she attends to the needs of people struck with the virus. Would you protect her from the pestilence? Would you protect her going out and coming in and protect her family? May she be a blessing where she is. And Lord, for Susie Hale, who is involved in life and death situations with people on a regular basis as they go into intense surgeries. Lord, you've prepared her for this. You've put it in her to be here for this. May she continue to be an encouragement. Would you protect her and Duke and her entire family? And for Amy, Lord, who grew up in our church and is Bo and Will's sister, and we all know her well, we pray for an ICU that you would give her an amazing sense of your presence with people and the people that she touches. And finally, all the way across country to North Carolina, to Katie Davenport, my goddaughter, this wonderful doctor who is working in the ER at the same time dealing with the virus. I just pray for wisdom and amazing grace for her. May she have all the supplies she needs, Lord. And would you do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we think or ask regarding this virus. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for bearing with me. Again, I want to thank Ethan Pierce and Bill Malstead. They have now become the congregation. I was expecting a few more amens today, but they kind of just stared at me. But I'm kind of used to that. So that's the way it goes. But I love, many of you gave me a heads up last week thanking me for what I shared. I love the cards and letters. Dudley thinks I'm an affirmation addict. I don't know if I am or not, but it feels good to know that I got through to you in cyberspace, okay? Now, Pat and Tony are going to close with a song. And before I do that, kids, are you there? This is the youth room. That's where I'm at. I am in your room doing this morning. So I've loved being here. It looks great. I can't wait till we can all get back together again. So God bless you. We are done. Thank you.
I
That's our statement this morning, God, that you are faithful.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we bless you. Everybody, be safe and healthy. Amen. Bless you. Amen.
Amen.